Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Mum and Mama. I want to start by thanking my lovely sponsor, as always, the amazing Golding Accountancy. If you need any accountant work done, then get in touch. wearegolding.com. This week, how are you? Are you good? I'm good. I love the sun, so I'm extra happy whenever the sun's out. I'm working more now, so I can't enjoy it as much as you do. Because I can't do the work that I usually do sitting in the garden as much. Which is a bit of a pain, but it's all good. The sun is not too good to sunbathe too much anyway, is it? So I'm rationing myself. But yes, I hope you are good and you're enjoying the sun as well. This week, I have my old school friend on, Martin Fitzgerald. I got him on to chat about his new business venture, Branded and Monica, which is obviously a play on Brandy and Monica, which is a t-shirt company. And I'll let him explain, but check him out on Instagram because their t-shirt's fantastic. And it was great. I wanted to get him on anyway because he's such a laugh. And I wanted to have a catch up. He's had a very interesting life. He was a model. He was and still is a club promoter. And now he's got this t-shirt brand. And I just thought it'd be good to have him on because he's funny. He's entertaining. To tell us about what he does. As he does. And my mullet also gets a shout out, which is nice. So yeah, enjoy and I'll see you in a bit.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Work.
Hey!
Is that it?
That's it, yeah. It's... And then I'll just know, when I put them in, I can find out where the claps are, and then I kind of know roughly, you know.
Right, okay, cool.
Very technical.
All right, I've made a few notes, so just, I am...
All right.
Well, no, just don't fucking dry up.
I'll be fine, I'll edit all the shit bits out.
Down to 8-minute podcast. Well, this is horrible talking with these on, isn't it? You can hear your voice.
I know, and it's they hurt my head, and I've had to start wearing glasses because that's
what happens. Look at me.
Turn 40.
But I can't. If I wear glasses and headphones, I get such a headache. I think I need to get the glasses made a bit bigger. But these hurt my head. These
really?
Ones.
Why do they but hurt the your head with the glasses? What, pushing on the arms?
It's just the... Well, the glasses. If I wear the glasses for too long, they hurt anyway. I think they're just too tight. But these are tight. I need to get the little ones that you stick in.
Yeah. The little...
But they always fall out.
Do they? Can you get different sizes?
I don't know. I've not had much luck.
I like these in the winter walking around because they just keep your ears warm and they block out on like the tube. Like I get the Victoria line and oh my God, the blood coming out the ears by the time you get to Vauxhall.
Where are you living?
Islington.
You're in Islington.
So I moved back here. Oh no, not really. I mean, you know, I'm in a rough older. Well, I'm not, but it's a council flat. But
it's very nice.
It looks shushy, but the people behind the facade are rough.
But they're nice and big council places, aren't they?
Well, this
you get the nice big rooms.
Kind of. I'm like on the top floor of a Victorian house, so it's a conversion. So it's it's nice. It's not very big, actually, my flat. It's a bit kind of... Look, you can see it. But it's got a nice view.
Oh, it's nice.
Yeah. I've got the blind down because the... what's it called? The double glazing's fucked. So it's like literally Hurricane Katrina coming through when I take the blind up. So I'm like a hermit crab at the moment with the blinds down. But,
I suppose I should introduce you.
Yeah. Go on, then.
Martin Fitzgerald.
Hello,
Amy.
We were
trying to work
Ballman.
Out what your ex-international playboy maybe, or are you still an international playboy?
Oh, I don't know about international.
Have you ever been an international?
Not really. I mean, I was more national. I did live in Ibiza for a year when I bumped into you. Remember at Pikes?
Yeah, I know.
So,
yes.
What were you doing there? Were you on a girl's? Was it a hen do or?
Yeah. I was on a hen do and we'd been to, what's the band that were there? They had their after party there that we saw.
What, is that what I was there for?
Rocks. I don't think you were probably just there because you were probably just there all the time, no?
Yeah, I hardly went out when I lived in Ibiza. I mean, I was such a hermit. I know, I just...
You were looking after that apartment, weren't you?
Oh, fucking hell, yeah. I mean, that was like 40 towers with a... But up the wrong factor. Yeah, that was my... But basically, one of my best mates moved out there and she's got like a little casita that she was going to rent out, and the year she moved out, Airbnb got banned. So...
Banned?
Yeah, it's not banned, but you need a licence to rent your place.
Okay.
And obviously no one in Ibiza had a licence apart from like the really big villas. So suddenly she couldn't do it. So I wanted to get out of London for a bit and she wanted someone to help. So I said, look, I can get all people that all these people that I've met over the years to basically come and rent the place. So I was put up on like social media and a lot of the people were absolutely charming. So, you know, it's just really full on having people in and out week after week. And of course, a lot of people that turned up wanted to have that Ibiza holiday.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and when you're around that for like 7 months, by the end of it, we were like, oh my God, you know, we're not made for hospitality.
That's pretty full on actually, because it's hard enough. Like obviously when we were 20, that's a different story. But now the thought of going out for one night out scares me a bit, like to that extent. Do you know what I mean? But actually being somewhere and then living that lifestyle for a number of days, constantly for months.
We weren't, because we weren't going out. I mean, we were really boring, but round the villa, it was kind of like people would want to have a bit of a party and stuff. So then you're like, you're there with them, which was fine a lot of the time. But a lot of the time it was just like, I really just want to, you know, watch, you know, Married at First Sight and not have to, you know, deal with people that have been up for 3 days.
Oh, God. But yeah, whereabouts in Ibiza is it?
It's beautiful where she lives. So she's just by KM5. So she lives up in the hills. Yes.
Yeah, I know.
It's, you know, it's surrounded by woodland. It's really, really lovely.
It's beautiful, Ibiza.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful place. Like, you don't... I went there twice and didn't go to a club, just on, like, different holidays. Like,
and
you
the clubs
such a really nice family.
Absolutely, yeah, you can. I mean, the drawbacks of Ibiza are, and it's always been expensive, but it's got like ridiculously expensive now.
Yeah.
I mean, if the clubs don't. I mean, I'm going to sound like a right old fossil, but the clubs really aren't like not what they were. Really,
yeah.
I mean, they just don't feel that, you know. And I mean, I shouldn't say this, but you know, like high and you know, like knocking down space to build that. I mean, it just feels like Westfield, you know, it's like a shopping centre.
Yeah.
It's all like LED lighting and all of that. It's just like, oh no, not really. But it was nice living there. But in the winter, there's not really a lot going on. So unless you've got kind of working from home, which I wasn't, or you know, you're minted, which I'm not, you're a little bit struggling what you can do, and everything shuts up. So I got a bit bored.
Yeah.
So I came back. And the houses are fucking freezing in the winter because they're meant to they're meant to be like summer houses.
Yeah,
and it's all stone. So, and you're not on the main gas. So, you've basically got those little Calagas heaters. So, you'd be sitting there like with your Benny off Crossroads knitted hat on around one of those in like November. And it's like, oh, well, this isn't quite what I signed up
for. How cold does it get?
Not massively cold, but the houses are colder inside than outside.
But it's cold, yeah.
It's lovely. It's like it's nice and sunny and all of that. But the houses are cold. So no, it was fun, and I'm glad I went. But I kind of a year was enough.
Yeah, I think a year's enough.
I think so.
Yeah. So we went to primary school together, didn't we?
We did.
Many years ago. So, and when I woke up this morning, I had a WhatsApp photo of some party when we were about 7 or 8 that I've got no recollection of whatsoever.
I have actually, because I think it was Matt's 7th or 8th birthday. Matt Kelly, who we went to school with, who I'm still in contact with, like one of my best mates. And it was his 7th or 8th birthday at Wilsner Drive in Pitsy. And I don't know quite what the theme was, because I went, which is probably a bit problematic these days, I went as a Chinese Ming the Merciless kind of character, and I had a hat that was made out of a Vitalite tub covered in tinfoil that had like a long emperor kind of plait down the back. I don't know what I was supposed to be, but I'd obviously raided my mum's wardrobe because I was wearing one of her satin blouses and satin trousers. But you were in your school uniform and so was everyone else. So I don't... Cara Kennedy was a cat. But half were at school uniform and half were dressed up. So I don't know if Matt just didn't do the invite very well when no one knew what the actual requirement was.
Yeah, I couldn't really work that out. Maybe they did dress up when we were there. Anyway, I've got absolutely no...
Yeah,
no
he
idea.
Found that the other week and sent it to me. He dug it out.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. Yeah, go on.
You left, didn't you, before we finished?
So...
Did you leave before we...
I left when
away.
I was 7 or 8 to Benfleet. When we were in Sister Mary Louie's class. Remember the one that used to, like, grab your arm till the blood stopped pumping? but we were probably in the same class. But were we like, in Mrs. Lee's class, Mrs. Aykroyd and all of that?
Oh, my God, how do you remember the names?
Yeah, I remember it all really well. Mrs. Muirhead, do you remember her?
Yes.
Yeah, who took me to...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, when I smashed my head open on the... do you remember that game we used to play where you'd have, like, you did a circle and they'd call out two names and you'd both have to run round and sit down before the other one?
Yeah, I remember.
I fell over trying to play that game and I got put in that, you know, the little room in the secretary's office that had a bed, and it's like where they kept, like, the little, like... you know, spare PE kits for people that, like, that had a bit of an accident or whatever. And they phoned my mum and dad up and were like, oh, he's grazed his head a bit, so you might want to come and pick him. And apparently they came and picked me up and had, like, this like watermelon lump on my head. I had like concussion and was rushed to hospital. But yeah, I think I had an out of body experience that, because Mrs. Muirhead picked me up off the playground and walked me over to, you know, like the main school. Yeah. And I remember it really distinctly, watching her carry me. And I must have dreamt it or something, I don't know. But it was like a real out-of-body experience. And I remember it really clearly. I remember me, like, floating in front of them and her carrying me. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was a bit of a Mystic Meg moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where did you... So you moved to Benfleet and obviously went to school there.
So I moved to Benfleet. I went to Holy Family. And then I met up with a lot of the boys later on. Tommy Moore's in Southend.
Right, okay, yes.
But left there.
Oh, do you know Scroobius Pip?
Who?
Scroobius Pip. He went, he's younger than us. He's like 3 years younger than us.
No.
But he went to, no, okay.
Oh, well, I probably left, so I didn't finish there either. I left.
Oh, didn't
no,
you?
No, at 13, mum up sticks again, so I moved to Bicester. It's now famous for Bicester Village,
wow.
But Bicester Village wasn't there then.
Yeah,
I hated it. So I moved up there for like 3 years. And then I moved to London when I was like just turned 17. I kind of escaped Bicester. I really didn't like it. Yeah. So and then moved back where my family's from. So I've ended up, I live on the next street from where all my family used to live before they moved to Basildon in the
70s. Yeah. So what did you do then? What took you to London?
I just think wanting to, clubbing. So I started going out a little bit younger than I was meant to be. And then, I think Matt and I kind of started going out clubbing up in London when we were about 17. And that was like, that was me kind of set then. Everything went out the window. The A-levels went out the window. The plan to go to uni... And I just started going out clubbing every weekend and during the week as well. I lived in clubs for a good...
Where did you go?
The first club I went to... I mean, I couldn't get into most of them because I was like 17 and I looked really young. But the first one that I got into was... Do you remember Bagley's at King's Cross?
Yes.
So, so Bagley's, and then I started hanging out with Philip Salon, who was the promoter at the time. And through hanging out with them and all those kind of crowd, started going out to other clubs. So I was going to like, the Ministry and, God, where else would we go? Do you remember Legends?
Yes.
Yeah, so we'd get to Legends and, Café de Paris that's just recently closed its doors for good.
That is my favourite venue, Café de Paris, because it was just so beautiful and I had some good nights.
I hope they turn it into something decent. Apparently,
has it not been saved then?
Apparently not. Apparently it's gone. But who knows? I mean, they might.
But they film loads of films in there, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, it's really
I would imagine it's listed. I mean, it's a great live music venue. I mean, I remember seeing Erykah Badu back then when Baduism came out. I know, like back in the like 96, 97.
So
maybe it'd be used as some form of, but I don't think it's going to be like a dirty old grave pit like it used to be, which might not be such a bad thing to be honest.
But I had a vision of. Do you know when Pose was on?
Yeah.
I was like, I just want to go to a fucking night where they play all that music and get dressed up to the nines. And my vision was of it being at Café de Paris, but...
Yeah, well maybe we could still make it happen.
Fuck.
Yeah. No, yes. I'm gagging for a night out, actually.
So you were going raving?
Basically going raving. And I think, I think 17, 18, just come out, kind of... You know, just finding your feet. I suppose every teenager goes through that. But I think when being like a gay teenager, it's got that added thing of like you're kind of finding people similar to you.
Yes, yeah.
Or more. I mean, obviously Matt and I hooked up young, you know, as mates. So basically I just turned into like a bit of a club, you know, permanent feature for a few years.
Yeah. So when did the modelling start?
So the modelling started, basically, my flatmate who I met, who has long since passed away, Scarlett and I all lived together in Putney. She was this wonderful club promoter and kind of face on the scene. I mean, she was really gorge. And she just took a shine to us. I mean, we were like kids, and she seemed much older at the time, but she was only 29 herself. And we moved in with her in Putney. We lived above a tandoori shop. And she kind of introduced us to like half of like the like the London scene and all her mates and stuff. And she took me to a photo shoot for, it was a Rolling Stones video, just like a Rolling Stone. And it was with Patricia Arquette. And it's still you can still see it on YouTube. I'm in it for about half a second. And I'd knit one of her coats. I was wearing this like leopard skin, leopard print fur. It was like a proper Pam St. Clements number. And someone just asked me there, do you want to like try modelling? And I was like, yeah, all right, because I didn't have a job. And so that's how that started. And yeah, I mean, I was an absolute disaster. I got work. Why? Actually, no, I got shoots. I got photos. I mean, several things. I hate my photo being taken, which probably doesn't help if you're wanting to model. I really don't like it. I'm very self-conscious in front of cameras. I was partying all the time, so I turn up like haggard, and you know, I really like my food, so you know. And back then it was that whole like androgynous look, you know, and like really super waif, you know, and I weren't so waif, you know. I mean, my booker caught me more than once, you know, in the kebab shop around the corner from the agency, you know, like piling in some massive donna, you know, and she'd be banging on the window. What are you doing? So I just wasn't very disciplined, you know. I mean, I think there was that whole look at the time, you know, like that was kind of like really washed out and thin, and you know, and I just looked washed out but not so thin, and and I think I had like a bit body dysmorphia, but the other way, because that my agency would be a bit like, oh Martin, you know, like you need to kind of lose a bit of weight, and I'd be like, what are you talking about? I look fine, and you know, and it's true, the camera does put pounds on. I remember once I got probably my one big chance at a break. I got a request casting to see Mario Testino, and
oh my god,
and my Scarlett at the time was dating Siorlin, who's now the Marquess of Bath, so, and he had his 21st birthday party down in Longleat, so we all piled down there, and the casting was back in London on the Sunday, and it was fancy dress, we all went, and obviously everyone got trashed, and I mean, we were standing in some B&B in this village, you know, village kind of above a pub. And my mate Joe, he went as Winnie Mandela, you know. I mean, he is black, don't worry, he wasn't black, he is actually black. And he went as Winnie Mandela and looked exactly like Winnie Mandela. It was so good. And then we just went back there at like 8 a.m. and all the farmers were like up, they were doing farm stuff. And we all just piled in, dressed like an absolute bunch of freaks. And they were so nice. They were, like, buying us drinks, playing snooker with them. But anyway, I missed the train back to meet Mario Testino. So I think that was my one chance of, you know, actually getting, you know, some serious work. Mind you, given what's come out lately, it might not have been a bad thing.
Oh, what about him?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit Me Too movement, but I don't know if you can mention that. But, yeah... So
I don't know anything. Oh yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing, like, it's all sounds lovely, but you know, if you had taken that opportunity and something had happened and you weren't allowed to eat for like a month, you wouldn't have liked that, would you? So
it was a good way to. I got a bit of travelling in, and you know, it was a good way of meeting a few people. And I met some really nice friends, actually, mainly like the makeup artists and stuff. They were like really mumsy with me. But yeah, I mean, it's not for me. I mean, you know, I'm not very, you know, especially, I mean, thank God there wasn't Uber Eats and all of that back then. But Yeah. And also, I think it makes you really self-conscious, you know?
Yeah.
I think anything like that where you're getting paid because of what you look like, you're going to start becoming really paranoid about what you look like.
Yeah. And especially when people are literally telling you, you need to lose weight. Yeah. When people are telling you, you know, I mean,
yeah.
When you're not at all overweight, it's just that, yeah, it's not healthy.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, some people do it and they're great and they live super healthy and they go to the gym and they love it and they, you know, and hat off to them. I was just, I hate gyms, you know. I go to bed very late and, or I did back then, you know, and I was out half the week. So it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't a good recipe.
So when did you get into the promoting?
So the promoting came... actually quite late. I think I had a bit of a like early midlife crisis. Yeah, I kind of, I went to university late at 26. I went to Birkbeck and did my degree. And
what did you do?
Politics, philosophy and history. And
Yeah,
I kind of, like, I got in my mid-20s. I was like, I kind of feel like I've missed out on something there because Matt and everyone had all gone back to college and studied and I kind of hadn't.
Yeah.
And it was something that I'd really wanted to do. So I kind of felt a bit, you know, like I've missed out. So Birkbeck, which is great, it's kind of geared towards adult learners. So I studied for 4 years, like three nights a week, went and did that.
Oh, okay.
I had a really boring job while I was doing that in the city, that just was not me, you know. And And then at the end of it, when I qualified, I got a job in advertising. Or when I graduated, rather. I got a job in advertising and then I went and worked at an ad agency at Wieden & Kennedy, which wasn't really me either. Nothing's really me that's like kind of involves getting up early in the morning, to be honest. And I didn't do any work for a year. I mean, I can't believe they kept me on. I did nothing. I was down the joiner's arms every night. And then, like, mates of mine were doing parties and stuff, and I just thought, I'm going to do a fucking party if they're doing it. You know, like, being a complete sheep. But I've always been a massive obsessive of 80s music, so I wanted to do an 80s night. And my mate, Mark, who owns the Eagle, where Halls Meet Disco is, I convinced him to let me try a Saturday night there. Matt came up with the name Carpet Burn. And that was that. I basically jacked my job in, I think, after the first party. I was like, right, that'll do.
Okay.
And off I went. And I did kind of all sorts of nights. Carpet Burn's amazingly still running, like 13 years on.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was. I think I was 31 by that point. So I wasn't like... Yeah. I mean, I think most people that start club promoting start doing it in their... like early 20s, but I just realised I just really didn't like working, you know, in proper jobs, like 9 to 5. So, and then I'd started DJing a bit because I was just embarrassed booking DJs at the beginning and there was no fucker in the room. And I'm like, oh, people are turning up in a minute, people are turning up in a minute, you know, and they just feel really bad. They're playing to like me. So I thought, oh, do you know what? I'll start doing the early bits. So then I just stood in the DJ booth panicking that no one was coming. and started DJing. And I mean, look, I'm not like a, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not Larry Levan when it comes to, you know, like skills. But, you know, I can beat mix, and I know a tune. So, yeah, I enjoy doing it. And it's kind of, it's fucking money frog rope. And I know most DJs would absolutely shoot me for saying that. But it's like, you're putting fucking records on, love. Do you know what I mean? It ain't rocket science. And I like it, you know. So I do that. I've really missed doing that with lockdown. You know, like I've not obviously been doing anything. So...
Well, you have been doing something.
Oh God, yeah, of course I have. What you asked, God, what you invited me to talk about? Sorry, yes. So, Dolly, So I set up a t-shirt company. Called.
So how did it all come about?
Well, it came about. Me and my boyfriend were out at the beginning of lockdown, and we went out for a walk, and we just started playing I don't know if it's like a well-known game or if we just made it up, but we started playing this game that is basically you come up with a name and then you have to think of like famous people that with that.
Yeah.
So at first it was like, the first one we came up with was Debbie. So it was like, okay, yeah. Immediately like we got Harry and then it was like, obviously McGee and then Reynolds and then does Dallas and then this game is so fucking addictive. You literally you're digging them out, you know. And we couldn't stop playing. We literally come up with about 25 names by the time we got back from this walk. We went out for about 2 or 3 hours, yeah. And we had all these names. And then my boyfriend was like, Cole said, "Oh no, let's just put it on a t-shirt. These would be great t-shirts. They're really camp." And I was like, "Oh, I don't know." And I thought, actually, it's not a bad idea. So we started from then when we got our mate Buzzy involved because she's like proper business. And, you know, I mean, if it was down to us, nothing would happen. You know, I mean, she's the one that, you know, she's like Miss Excel spreadsheet and gets all the stuff done. And, you know, so we got Buzzy and then we came up with 4 names. And that's outside. It's called Branded and Monica, which most people didn't get was a play on Brandy and Monica, being like 90s R&B kids. Most people actually didn't get it. But so we've got Branded and Monica, and we've just brought out another 4 names. So we've now got 8 names. Right, let's just play the game. Right. So come on, have you looked on our website? Have you cheated?
No,
okay,
I haven't.
So you don't know. Okay,
cheated.
Right. So
I've
come
cheated.
On then. So Amy, you have got 1 minute to name 4 famous Vanessas.
Vanessa Williams.
Yep.
Vanessa Vanjie.
Oh.
Is she Vanessa Vanjie?
Oh, I don't know.
It's Miss Vanjie. Vanessa Williams, Vanessa Paradis.
Yes.
Is that Vanessa Paradis?
They're both on the T-shirt.
See. Vanessa.
Come on, you can
do
it.
My memory's really bad. Vanessa, what's the bird who was married to the guy out of Fats and Small? Is that Vanessa?
I don't know. I'm going to have to Google that one. I really don't know. Hang on, let me see. Vanessa.
Oh, Vanessa. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, my God. That is shocking. Vanessa Phelps.
What is shocking? Vanessa Phelps,
Do you know what? I didn't know she was married to Fats and Small.
Well, maybe they're not married. Was she going out with him? Was it
long-term fiancé?
You know,
yeah, she's on it, obviously.
Yeah.
And we had Redgrave as well.
When I went to a premiere of Planet of the Apes with Mark Wahlberg and the after party was at Ministry of Sound and I got so drunk because it was, obviously it's all free bars and it was really busy. You know the walkway up the top? I was standing there with my head in a box of food trying to shove food in. And I always went out with my mate Kenny who used to drink so much and I never used to have any dinner and then I used to be really sick. So I was like, right, I'm definitely going to eat tonight. So I was shoving this food in my mouth and Mark Wahlberg walked behind me to go into the VIP room. So I completely missed my chance because I was eating. But then she'd convinced us that when we went to the bar, we had to get 2 drinks because the queue for the bar was really long. So, but then obviously when you've got 2 drinks, you just down one really quickly because you don't want to have 2 drinks. So, yeah, so I threw up, I think, twice in the club, in the toilets. I threw up outside Ministry when I was put into a taxi by my friend who was working, actually. I threw up on the way home in the cab. I threw up when we got back to hers. I woke up being sick in her white bed and I was drinking vodka cranberry.
Oh, love.
I swear to God, I have never been so ill in my life. But anyway, so Vanessa was there and I went... It was right at the end of the night.
When you were looking your best.
And, oh, God. I just walked up to her. And I was like, I've just got to say, you've done so well, because this is when she'd done all the weight.
Oh, God.
And she just looked at me like I was just, I mean, you can, I don't...
Absolute
I can't
disdain.
Imagine how awful I was anyway. And it was like, fuck off, love.
Bring you the best of Basildon.
Yeah. That was my Vanessa moment. And he was there, the fella. Hey! Is that the song?
What's wrong with you? Yeah, that one. I don't know how I didn't know that. That's really shocking, given I've just, like, done a T-shirt with her. So thanks.
I
might have known it. I knew his name, but I didn't know he was out of Fats and Small.
Yeah.
She got a first in Cambridge.
What in?
English.
Really? Well, she's quite well to do, though, isn't she?
Yeah, still good, though.
I guess. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Well done, Vanessa.
Yeah, so I got three that were on the T-shirt, then. Who's on the T-shirt?
You got Parody, Phelps. Williams, and Phelps, and you miss Redgrave.
I miss Redgrave.
Vanessa Williams actually turned up at the Eagle last year. No, year before. And then she just walked in.
Oh, my God.
Hultsmeet Disco on a Sunday. She literally just walked in the club. Stun. Like, still absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, she was so cool. She's hung out, like, gradually people were like, is that Vanessa Williams? Saving the best for last. And we were like, yes. But she was so nice. She let everyone take the picture with her. Yeah, she was really, really gorgeous.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you've got eight names. What are the other names?
Oh, God, you're going to put me on the spot now. So we've got...
You've got 10 seconds.
Oh, okay, right, I'm going to get this wrong. Right, so we've got the first lot. We've got Mary, Susan, Lisa and Debbie were the first ones.
Right, yeah.
And the new ones are Vanessa, Michelle, Joan and Jane. And we just got Jane Horrocks to send us a picture of her wearing her one. And I've got Mary Beard. She's sent a message that says she loves it, and I'm now trying to wangle a picture out of her as well, being a complete social media slut.
You've got to do what you've got to do.
You've got to do what you've got to do. But
I love the idea. I'm going to get one. I didn't know
who you're going to get.
I think I might get the Michelle. Well, I think I might get Michelle, but I don't know.
Yeah, Michelle's been really popular.
Yeah.
They've actually sold really well. I mean, we've kind of put it up and we're a bit like, is anyone actually going to buy these? Yeah. And I mean, we're like, we just said it, someone in the States has just bought some. So, yeah, it's kind of, it's good fun.
It's such a good idea.
Yeah, I think when lockdown's over, I really want to like just get back to old school basics and get a load and just go down Spitalfields Market and, sell them face to face. Be a bit, market trader. No, it's been, I've really, really enjoyed doing it. It's been, it's kind of kept us busy,
I love the idea. And are you going to do anything else, like bags or anything?
We've already got tote bags.
Brilliant.
And we want to do mugs, we're going to merch it out, we do key rings, whatever, I think tea towels. Pictures.
Well, it's a good idea. And, as this lockdown has taught us, you've got to, is it diversify?
You've got to diversify, yeah.
So if you can't be doing your club nights, it's good if you can do a bit of merchandise.
We want to kind of hook it up and do, some Brandon and Monica parties as, fundraisers, choose a charity.
Yeah.
And then do it as fundraisers.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Because Carl's background is, he's a choreographer and he's quite tapped into that world of... cabaret and performance, so just get all the different performers in and then marry that up with a proper stomping kind of club night and do like a bit of a party and just give all the money to a decent charity.
Yeah, well, that'd be nice.
Yeah, so we're gonna do a party maybe this year, we'll see. So come down, that could be dress up time.
Oh, I'd love that.
I know.
So what, have you heard anything from the venue? So you do your night, where do you do your night?
So I do a couple. So Carpet Burn's still running at the Eagle every Friday. So that will come back, hopefully, once they can open. But I mean, everyone's up in the air. I mean, they're saying the end of June, but who knows? But that might come back then. And then I do another night called Handsome. Which is like a house night. What night did you come to? You came and no one turned up, didn't you?
Yeah, I came, but we were there very early. It was in Dalston.
Yeah, so that was a night, I don't know what I was thinking. I did this one party called I don't know why I did it. It was called Tina, and it was based around like this kind of character, and it was an absolute disaster. No one turned up, and then my mate Toby very kindly said, "Babe, I think you need to rebrand it." And so you came to the first one that no one came to, and then the next month we had this.
There were people there. I remember dancing, and there were people there. Yeah.
Or maybe you came to the first Handsome then. The first Handsome started the next month. And that was great. And then it kind of like that just, yeah, that worked, thankfully.
Yeah.
I could pay the rent that month.
It's hard. It's so hard, though, doing that. Promoting, it's a hard job. If you do it and you land on your feet with it, and that's amazing, you can earn a fuckload of money. Well, you used to be able to. I don't know so much now. But it's hard graft. It's hard graft getting people in the door.
I think my days of doing it as a full-time job are well past me. You know, it's just, it's stressy, you know. You know, and you're stressed on the night. And then, you know, and I don't live that life anymore. You know what I mean? I'm kind of studying to be a counsellor. So it doesn't
really... Are you?
Yeah. So it doesn't really... I mean, I'm up for doing, like, a bit of DJing work and maybe the odd party here and there. But, you know, like, going out every weekend is just, like, not going to happen anymore. And I just don't recover. Yeah. I just, you know, I'm 45 this year. I just don't recover. You know, so, I'll do a little bit, keep my toe in there. And, it's, you know, you can earn a little bit of money from it, you know, but I think doing it full time, it just be, unless you're, like, major, you know, you're in it and you've got a big setup behind you and you're playing all over the show, then you're obviously ka-ching. But if you haven't, it's a bit of a scrabble.
Yeah. Oh, so tell me about the counselling stuff then. So are you studying now?
I am. So I'm doing it on Zoom, which is a bit weird until next month. It's been, you know, it's been a bit of a struggle doing that. But yeah, I'm now on the second part of it. So in September, I start level 4, and then that's 2 years. And at the end of that, I'll be qualified as a counsellor. And then I think I'll probably go on and study. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And it's, you know, it's I find it really interesting. And it's something I can do sitting down in my 50s. So, yeah. And, you know.
While eating,
you know. So, yeah, I think that's definitely something that I'm going to pursue. I'm really into it.
Where are you doing? Are you doing it in...
I'm doing it at the City Lit in Covent Garden. And I'll probably stay there for the next level. And then after that, if I do my Masters, I'll have to look elsewhere because I don't do a Masters. But we'll see. I mean, Gould Elpham, whoever comes to me for therapy, I mean, they'd be absolutely mangled. But I really enjoy it. And it's also something, you know, if you've lived life in a certain way, I think it gives you a bit of a perspective on certain things. You know, there's a great charity down at King's Cross called the London Friend that helps not just young, I suppose, like LGBTQ people, offering you know, therapy and stuff, so I can go and volunteer down there to get me started. And then let's see.
Oh, that's brilliant. I'm pleased for you. I think that's been a lovely thing to do.
Yeah.
I want to do that, but I can't...
What, you want to... You've thought about counselling?
Yeah, well, psychotherapy I'd like to go into.
Yeah.
Is it psychotherapy? I'm very nosy.
It's a good trait to have as a therapist.
I like finding out about people, and I just love... Because I had counselling for quite a long time, and it just fascinates me the way how you make yourself and how you make your sense of yourself and the way you think about things and what affects you. And I just find it all absolutely fascinating. And I just think that if you can help people feel better, what a lovely thing to be able to do or work through certain problems. I absolutely love it. But I do. So that's kind of always what I wanted to do. But I wanted to be a bit older. Because I think for me, when I went to a counsellor, if they'd have been like the same age as me, I might have been a bit like, well, what do you know? So I thought, I want to be in my 40s. But now it's just logistically, like, because I've got kids and I need to support them. It's studying on top of that. I think I need to wait until they're just a little bit older, so they're not.
How old are they?
Needy. They're 10 and 7.
Mm. Yeah, 7's quite young.
So they're getting there.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, they still do need my attention.
Yeah, yeah, I bet.
And I just think studying on top of working's hard, isn't it? As you know, like doing a degree on top of working.
It is, yeah. I mean, I take so, 2 days off to study. And then, I mean, to be honest, the first levels you probably could do because, you know, I mean, I study all day Saturday. That's my college. So it's 10 till 5 on a Saturday,
yeah.
But that is it. I mean, you have to do homework, obviously. Yeah. But so it's probably something you could work around.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd highly recommend it. I think you'd get a lot.
Yes.
I'm trying to get my sister to do it. It's great. It's great. It's a real eye-opener into yourself when you realise what a kind, you know, it makes you think, oh, God, that's totally what I do.
Yes.
But like you, I've had a lot of counselling, therapy and stuff, some really helpful, some not so helpful. But that's been great to bring that experience to it.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I'm really pleased with you. Just quickly, how was your whole coming out experience? Were your family very supportive of you and fine, or was it...
Well, I suppose because I was... you know, I mean, you're going back to... Things have changed quite a lot, and I'm so glad for that. You know, I think... Obviously, bullying and stuff is still really prevalent and there's a lot of issues.
Yeah.
But I do think generally it's become a lot more accepting from when I was, you know, my teens, as it had for people, you know, like when I speak to people in their 60s and 70s and they're like, oh, my God, it was horrendous when they were young.
Yeah.
But I kind of ran to London and like started living my life as I wanted to live it.
Yes. Yeah.
So there was a real split there. I didn't really come out until for a couple of years. I told my sister first and she was fine. My mum got a bit upset and was really surprised, which I was really shocked by. So I was like, Mum, I had divine posters and RuPaul picture discs on my wall. And I was borrowing your cover up. So it's like, you know, you're Touche Claire. You know, I wasn't the butchest of kids, but apparently that went completely by Mum. So she, I think, I mean, my dad was just, my dad's thing was, well, don't get yourself fucking killed because everything I read about up in London, everyone seems to be getting killed, like seems to be queer. And I was like, all right, thanks for that tip, Dad. That's great. You know, because of like Dennis Nielsen and probably the coal herd and all that. That was my dad's kind of like take on it. But his cousin actually, who's in his 80s, is gay. So he grew up in London with a gay cousin in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
So while he wasn't out, the family knew.
Yes.
He kind of, I think like my parents were probably disappointed, and I hate to say that, but I think because they immediately think you're going to end up lonely or you're going to end up, you know, whatever. It was kind of like... And my dad thought I was going to end up, you know, on my own. I'd say, Dad, you know, it's like being gay's totally made me who I am and my life. And I've got such a wide circle of friends and everything.
Yeah.
You know, he's long dead, my dad. I mean, he'd be like... in his mid-80s now, but so they weren't horrendous. I friends of mine had horrendous times that I heard of, you know, completely disowned or whatever. But as I've got older, I think I've become a lot more aware and done work around, you know, I think shame that I think a lot of gay people carry. I mean, suicide rates are like 5 times higher with gay teens and straight. And there's a lot of issues that I think we have. I think we internalise it. You know, it's difficult not to when you grow up at school and that's the worst thing someone can call you is you're gay.
Yeah.
And inside you're like, oh, my God, I actually am that. So, of course, I think a lot of us run to London and then let it, or wherever it is, Manchester or a bigger city, and kind of just go, you know, and let it all...
Yeah.
You know, I can see it now in...
Yeah.
You know, but, it was an... Presented challenges for sure, I think, growing up. but also made me who I am. So I just hope it continues in the way that it's going, in that people are less and less just don't give a shit, you know, and I think that's great, you know. I hope more of that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely moving in the right direction, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think so here anyway. I mean, a lot of parts of the world it's not. I think, you know, I mean, you look at like RuPaul's Drag Race now and stuff. I mean,
On the BBC.
I mean, you know, I remember when I was younger, I mean, it was like you'd get like a little, you know, you'd hang out like for The Word or something on a Friday night on Channel 4, because that was the only, or like Tales of the City being on, because that was the only reference that you would be in the press other than something negative. So, you know, that's completely changed. And I guess for young people coming, you know, who are coming of age, their idea of being gay is like learning from it from soap operas and pop stars coming out, you know, like, Ollie from years and years. Did you watch It's a Sin?
Yes, I did, yeah.
I mean, what a great piece of TV. I mean, we wept at the end.
My chin went and everything. I was absolutely sobbing just when she told her that he was dead. And all the kids in it, I mean, they're probably not kids, they're probably in their 20s, but I just thought they were all so amazing. Yeah. And the thing where he got the dementia, that was really upsetting. It was weird, actually, because I did theatre studies at university, and I did a course called AIDS and the American Dream.
Right.
So I did quite a lot about it, and I wrote a big thing on it. I can't fucking remember anything about it, because I can't remember anything. But you don't... I remember it all going on, because we were... What were you? I must have been about six.
Yeah. Yeah, we were kids when it...
That kind of age. So I remember it happening on the news and things coming out, and I was a bit like... Obviously, I didn't really know what was going on. But now, when you look back and you see how many people died, how they were treated...
Shocking.
And all the hate and shame and all that surrounded these poor bastards.
Mm.
And also, I thought that... struck me was before then you could just have sex, couldn't you? Like I've never not had safe sex. Well, I mean, I have.
Hang on a minute, you've got kids, babe.
Right, Amy. But it's always been in my head that you need to be careful.
Yeah,
whereas back in the day people didn't I mean, obviously there were still STDs, but
it was all, well, in the 70s, there was a window when everything was treatable, you know, because before that, gonorrhea and stuff hadn't been treatable. And suddenly, like, with women's lib and then gay lib, and it was like, you could go out and you could fucking do what you wanted. And if you got in a bit of trouble, there was a pill. And, I mean, there was massive pushback in the early gay scene, or like, with a lot of gay activists. They were like, no, we're not going to have safe sex. We've fought for years to, like, be able to do what we want. Yeah. And now you're kind of being this moralistic kind of stuff you're trying to impose on us. But I thought it was such a great piece of TV. And, I mean, you're absolutely right.
Amazing.
It must have been terrifying. And they got treated shockingly. I mean, I remember... 3 days before Freddie Mercury died, I remember being on a train going from Banbury to Bicester, and there was a copy of The Sun on the seat opposite, and I picked it up, and they actually were like kind of placing bets about whether he would make it to Christmas or not, you know, like, and it was like, this is, even then, and I was what, 14, 15, and I just thought, that's someone's life you're talking about. And also now that I'm older, I'm like, someone who was absolutely fucking incredible, you know, and you've got some piece of shit, you know, bit of journalist, like, will he make it to Christmas? And I knew a couple of people that died of AIDS right when I moved to London, and it was horrific. I mean, I remember visiting one in hospital, and he had dementia, and it was just awful. It was just such a vicious, vicious disease. And, you know, most of them, the you know, in the It's a Sin, the woman who played Jill's, you know, Jill, the mixed race girl, his best mate. Well, the woman who played his mum, her mum, is the real Jill. So she was the one that used to go into the hospices, and because a lot of them wouldn't be visited by their family, they were disowned.
Yeah.
She used to go in and sit with them. And I actually found her. Russell T Davis had posted about her on Instagram, and I just sent her a message just to say, I just want to say thank you for all the work that you did and all that love you showed those people when they were really on their own. And she sent me a message back. She was very sweet. Obviously, she's obviously incredibly kind. But but It's a Sin. What a great piece of TV.
Yeah. But I think it is so good that things like that are getting made. And with Pose as well. Because it's so important for people to see what happened and how people were treated.
Yeah.
You know, and the change that we need to make. Because it's like, how can you not feel empathy for someone? Especially those young boys.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
You know,
I mean,
how could you not feel empathy for them?
You know, I've watched Paris is Burning about a million times. And it's obviously, it's amazing. And those the people in it have got, you know, I mean, they're so incredible and feisty and, you know, like making their lives. But at the same time, you can't also ignore the fact that life was clearly a fucking massive struggle. And, and there was, you know, there was criticism about how that kind of got portrayed and a lot of, you know, cultural appropriation. And I totally get that. I mean, you know, like it was ripped off and made mainstream. But it's great with Pose that they're using trans actors and, you know, people that, you know, that they're not just using kind of cis actors. I think that was really important Ryan Murphy did that.
The whole thing's absolutely amazing. And I loved it. I can't wait for the kids to watch it. Because we do watch RuPaul, which the language is a bit, you know, but...
Who won it? Because I don't... But who won
British
the last
one? Or
one?
The
this one.
American or British?
No, the British one.
The British, Lawrence Chaney.
Oh, right, okay, right. So we were rooting for Bimini because I'm a bit shit with watching TV and stuff, but we were all rooting for Bimini because she's kind of, you know, part of the scene that we're all part of here. And, you know, I mean, we all know her. And she looked incredible, but
She was amazing. Lawrence Chaney was my favourite, and then I kind of went off him a bit and was rooting for Bimini, but I'm happy that three of you have them two to win. Do you know Tace? Is he in your circle? The Welsh guy?
No. I'm kind of a bit out of the loop with, like,
another friend of mine.
Is he young?
Yeah. Beautiful. Just so beautiful.
Really?
He's in the London scene, yeah. But he's friends with, weirdly, he reminds me of my friend's friend, and it turns out that they actually know each other.
Oh, right.
It's such a small fucking world.
I might know him to see. I mean, I'm a bit out of the loop. But Michelle Visage is on the Michelle one.
Yes, yeah. Love her.
I love Michelle Visage. She's great.
I think that's it. I like my girls to watch that because it's important for them to understand that people have struggles, I think. Because it's all very nice, you know, everything's great, you know, but it's nice to know that people go through it and people don't always have supportive families. And because I think it's just very important to be kind to people because, you know, you don't know what people are going through. And to stand up for people as well who can't always stand up for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, and also...
Get that in them.
Absolutely. I mean, and also, you know, hate crime is, like, really quite shocking. You know, against all minority groups, but against, you know, LGBT, it's really high, you know. We were talking on our counselling course last week, actually, with the whole Sarah Everard horror story. And there's only three men on the course and it's mainly women. And, you know, how deeply it affected them, obviously. And, you know, although it's not the same, I just said this whole kind of like toxic masculinity that I was really shocked by how they all said it uniformly about how they have to be aware in certain situations. They're always, you know, watching, you know, someone walking behind me at night and, you know, that kind of constant sense of, am I safe?
Yep.
Which I think as a bloke, I was kind of, and I'm a bit shocked to say it, a little bit oblivious of, you know, because, I mean, I've walked around London all the time, you know, and I've been mugged twice in London, so I'm certainly not invulnerable. But I kind of don't think about sexual violence. But then I said, actually, that's a lie, because I said, I don't really hold Carl's hand when I'm out. He's a lot more tactile than me, and I'm a little bit more wary, because You don't know if you're just going to get...
Really?
Yeah, because you don't know if you're going to get a punch in the head for it. And that's shocking of me. I should just really not give a fuck. And I do hold his hand, but I've got that self-consciousness there. And I hate even being self-conscious about it. I'm like, I shouldn't care. I shouldn't care.
But it shouldn't matter. Who fucking cares?
But people do.
That's the thing that bothers me. It's like, why do people care? It's like, why don't you just be happy that people are happy?
Yeah.
You're not hurting anyone. You know, I've never understood that, why people are so angry with people that they don't know.
I think people are, you know, there's a lot of fear, I think, in people. You know, I think people are, we live in a culture that's very fear-based. And
yeah.
It, things that people don't know. I mean, that's how I think attitudes have changed. People just generally know more gay people now.
Yes,
You know, people of colour. And it takes that kind of fear away because it's not unknown. But, you know, that's why you generally find cities are a lot more, you know, generally, I know. But, you know, you go to, you know, the Sticks and stuff and it can be a little bit less welcoming for some people. Diplomatically,
Aww. Well, thank you so much for talking. That's been so lovely.
That's all right. I really feel like I've just rambled a load of shit.
No, you haven't. Not at all. It's been lovely. And I'll share all the stuff. I'll share all the stuff for the T-shirts.
I just wanted... Do you remember... you always had such a superb... I just wanted to... About school. And it just, this is off the record. Because of that picture, and I just remember, like, you always had such a great mullet. Do you remember where you had the best mullet when we were like...
And then, I'm getting it back, bro.
And then
I'm getting my mullet back.
And then it just really reminded me of, like, people that we went to school with. So, like, are you in contact with anyone from school? From the...
No. Matt. We found each other, I can't remember, and that's how I found you, wasn't it? What is the name of that fucking band that we went to see in Ibiza, and then I've got to find out, because this is really going to annoy me. They were I'm so old. It wasn't Disclosure. Let me have a look, because it's weird. So, it was my mate's hen do in Ibiza, and we were going to Ibiza Rocks. And there was a day, and we went there because this band were there that I'm going to find. And I know they're on an agency that I know people that work for. And I was like, oh, could we meet them after? Because my mate's all like that. Not that I wouldn't like it, but...
Yeah. So you actually met
him? It's not really my cup of tea. So she was like, yeah, that's fine. I'll put you in touch with the manager. So I'm sitting there. And my mate Dan's bowling up towards me. He's like, are you all right, hey? I was like, yeah, you're all right. I was like, what are you doing here? He's like, I manage whatever band it is. He's their fucking manager. So then we met him and we had all a nice time. Then he was like, oh, we've got the after party at Pike's later, so why don't you all come? So I was like, yeah, brilliant. And then I was standing there. Rudimental.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I was standing there and then chatting with my mates and I heard, Amy? And it was you.
It was me. I just saw you like by the pool. I was like, is that Amy? But it's all gone now. I mean, the school's still there, but all the nuns are gone. The convent's been bulldozed.
Has it?
Yeah, they've built Barrett built a housing estate over it.
Oh my god, are you being serious?
Yeah, the nuns are gone. I mean, to be honest, they were about 800 when we were there, so I would imagine.
But that was such a beautiful. I remember the
it was the garden.
Really
how nice it was. Yeah.
They were allowed to do that.
Well, obviously,
they had to bulldoze over churches.
The church is still there, and
but it's just, I suppose,
because that church, do you remember it was like a really big church in the middle of nowhere? And I found out that was because that was meant to be Basildon Town Centre there, so they built the big church, and then the town centre got moved. So that's why it's like that's why it's like this fucking St Paul's Cathedral in the middle of an estate. And
I never thought about that actually.
It was really grand, wasn't it?
God.
Just like in the middle of nowhere. And
St Basil's.
I was christened in there.
Really?
Yeah, and Father Madden, who christened me, he ran off with a woman. He jacked it in and, he went and got married. And I remember winning a Breville toaster off the nuns in a raffle. And I had to go and pick it up. I remember it. I got so chuffed. fucking love. Oh, me too. Cheese and onion.
Cheese and bean.
Yeah, cheese and beans good. Now I like a cheese and onion, and you're probably going to gip, but Cadbury's cream egg
in a Breville.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, obviously it's incredibly sweet, but it's really nice. It's basically like diabetes on a plate, but it is delicious. Yeah. So the nuns are gone. No more nuns.
Oh my god, I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amy. Rekindling our friendship after 37 years.
Yeah,
lovely. Oh. Don't worry, babe. You're still looking fresh.
Still got it. Gonorrhea. When we can see each other, we will see each
Absolutely,
other.
Absolutely, yes. Brandon and Monica party, I think. I think I'm going to do that. Do a big, like, cabaret night, massive knees up.
Oh, I'd love that.
You know,
that.
Just fun and silly and, you know.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Get the party poppers out. Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. It'd be so nice.
Yes. All right, well, lots of love.
All right, love. You take care. Bye.
So that was the lovely Martin. So, yeah, head over to Branded and Monica on Instagram. I will post, as always, links to everything. But yeah, it was lovely having you on, Martin, if you are listening. He's such a lovely bloke. We have to meet up soon in real life rather than just stalking each other on social media. But yeah, if you want to get in touch with me, please do. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, I've had so many amazing guests on, so please have a look back through the back catalogue. Give me a review, a nice one, please, on iTunes. And subscribe to the podcast so it just comes in your inbox every week and you don't have to look for it. It's like magic. But yeah, and also, if you know anyone or you are a person who would like to come on the podcast, then please get in touch with me. I'm always looking for guests. I love a chat, so please, honestly, even if there's anything you think, oh no, I probably won't be that interesting, you will be, trust me. All right, take care, enjoy the week, big love, bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.